everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky. Joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hey.
I would just like to be very clear that this is Lindsay's episode.
100%.
We, you know, in planning and plotting for this fall fourth quarter of books, we realized that we've done a disservice to Lindsay.
I am baseball obsessed. So I've been like living for, I don't know, like we kind of pivoted on this episode. Like all of a sudden I was like, wait, we've never talked about baseball? Like how?
Right?
Like I live, breathe baseball. Like,
I don't know how it ever happened. Mm-hmm. Somehow we missed it. So today we're stepping up to the plate for a very special episode all about baseball. Now, if you're like me, there's something about a romance with a baseball player, hero or heroine, that knocks it out of the park every time. From locker room banter to the thrill of the game, there is no shortage of swoon-worthy moments when love and baseball combines. I will say, I do think baseball might be I read it before I read hockey romances. I read baseball romances. But I literally know nothing about baseball.
I know the general rules.
I know positions. And I know what a switch hitter is, and it has nothing to do with sex. I'm just saying.
I mean, that's a start.
Right? And a shortstop. They're not actually short.
So did you know that most position baseball players actually come up as shortstops?
No, I did not know this.
Yeah, they don't wind up staying shortstops, but the shortstop's a really hard position to play. It's like the most defensive.
You kind of have to be a fairly versatile player.
Yeah, you gotta be good.
You have to be very good at shortstop. It is a very defensive position. A lot of teams will choose defense first. But yeah, it's like most players will come up as shortstops, not all of them pan out.
Okay. So we're stepping up to the plate and into some of our favorite baseball romances where the stakes are high off the field as they are on it. We're talking about what makes the sport such a home run in the romance genre, the appeal of those strong competitive athletes with hearts of gold, and of course, recommending some must-read titles you won't want to miss. So whether you're a diehard baseball fan or just here for the HEAs, we've got something for everyone. All right, let's grab our mitts and head to the diamond. Batter up. I totally went cheesy for you. Didn't I?
I loved it.
Okay, so let's talk about the appeal of athleticism in the team dynamic. How important is it when we go into a baseball romance that they get the athletic requirements along with the team dynamic within our books? Because I know that that's something in other like sports, you know, if it's hockey, you know, we expect that line to be close, but you're not necessarily close with everyone on the team. How important is it to get that dynamic right in these books, Lindsay?
If you're going to include a team dynamic, you need to show that because there's two different elements to the team dynamic, right? Like if you've ever watched a baseball game, there's like the actual starting team or the position players and the starting pitching staff that make up the dugout. So that's a totally different dynamic than your bullpen because your bullpen, you have all the relievers and they are physically stored separately on the field from the rest of the team.
Like they're in cold storage.
They are. Okay. Like, have you ever seen a baseball fight?
A fight?
Yeah. Yes, I'm here for this. Like, I love it. There's been a fight in the postseason. The Orioles and the Yankees had fights this year. It is so amazing because it's like, it starts as a tiff between two players. And then all of a sudden the dugout rushes the field. Everybody's involved. Most of them are like standing around, like what the heck is going on? And then like some people are throwing punches. Like half the team is like pulling the player away, the other are just standing there. And then all of a sudden you've got the bullpens running out. The bullpen staff is just running out for solidarity. Like the fight is over by the time you get there. There's nothing. I love baseball fights. Like it is such a treat when it happens.
I would think that a baseball fight would be almost more dangerous than even a fight like on a hockey rink. Right, yeah, you got a baseball bat.
There's nothing. It's just throwing, and I mean, it's really kind of like pitiful, honestly. Like, there's not a lot of it. Like, gotcha. Most of the fight is like, let's separate them so that people aren't getting thrown out of the game.
Okay, that's fair. So, can you think of any books that do team dynamic really well?
Yeah, I can actually. So Tara Wyatt, her Texas Longhorn series, they do the team dynamic really well. But then I like Tina Gallagher's Carolina Wave series. The way she does the team dynamic is really interesting because a lot of her books happen, not a lot, but some of her books happen like outside of the vacuum of a season. Like one of them, it starts with an injured player. And in the second one, it happens at spring training. So you kind of get like, how the team dynamics look, not just on the field, like when you're an active player. And I think that's handled really well. I think Tara Wyatt, the Texas Longhorn series, is probably my favorite baseball series of all. Like, I hadn't really heard of her. I've not read anything else. But
she has
like,
a firefighter
one
series.
One of the things to get the team dynamic is like you have to have a certain amount of books to see a certain amount of players come through. And I think like also Jiffy Kate does a really good job of the team dynamic, though I think her books happen much more off the field. Their books happen much more off the field for baseball. And I think it works.
So question for you then. You think the better baseball romances are ones where the series is defined by the team versus like I'm thinking of like Carly Phillips has a couple series with baseball players, but it's only one book in the series. Like her Dared series has one of the guys as a baseball player. And then in her Hot Property series, one of the guys is a baseball player. So do you think that in order to get the true dynamic, the true makeup of how a baseball team and to really get into the gritty of what makes baseball great, you really need to have a team series?
For me, in particular, the series that I like the most have that team dynamic, and it is a full team series, like where you go through multiple players on the team. And I think you get that really well. Like both Tara Wyatt and Tina Gallagher, both of those are six book series.
Okay.
And I think with a six book series, you see a lot of that. I do actually like that for Megan Quinn's book, but I only like the books that happened at Brentwood. It's Brentwood.
Oh yeah.
Only the like there's a core team.
The original three, or something.
Team members. Yeah, it's only like three of them. And then I also like her book with the brother. Also because that book was a Baltimore book. Like if it features Baltimore and it's good. Pretty easy to please. But yeah, I like the team dynamic. Like I think with baseball, just like an interesting thing, like an example of it. Yesterday, the Yankees won the ALCS. And
yes, one of the Jeremy's moments, in the comment saying go Guardians. So apparently he's still a little bitter.
Sorry. Like Giancarlo Stanton has been on a freaking journey. The man deserves a shot. I'm as much a fan of the players as I am of like the game. So I'm very much like, I have a team and I'm very invested in their success, but it's more like, I love the sport so much. And the Guardians are an incredible team right now, just caveat. But like when they won, like there was a moment with Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton where they were just like, holy crap, we did it. Or like, I think back to when the Nationals won the World Series, there was a moment when two of the pitchers who'd been with Detroit went through a journey, multiple World Series, never won.
Back to romance books.
Well, it's just like, there's these moments, you know, and like in baseball, these guys are together they're playing 162 games. The season starts in February. They have to have close relationships. You need to see the team dynamics. You need to see the support system. It is a very different dynamic than what you get in other sports because there are no breaks. Not really. They play pretty much every day for 6 months out of the year. They're together all the time. And I think that's a critical thing. A lot of baseball romances, when it's just a single one-off, you don't really get that.
Yeah. So I will say, Avon Ellis, these books are fade to black, but they really do have great stakes and chemistry within them. So it is her DC Eagles series. Book one is called Squeeze Play. Heather and I did a quick shot on it early on. It's back in the archives. I actually really liked that series. She does, even though they're fade to black, there's really still great tension and chemistry, but she gives you a lot of emotion. And in book one, they have a great meet cute. She runs into him and spills coffee all down the front of him, which is such a great classic meet cute.
It is. I'm like, yeah, can't go wrong with the coffee. Oh, Lindsay, I got a question as like baseball, know nothing. Like, so how many people are usually on a team?
So it depends. The roster changes as the year changes. So right now in the postseason, you go in, I think it's a 26-man roster now. It used to be 25. There's a limited period where you get a 40-man roster before the postseason, but most of the time it's somewhere around like 26-ish players. There are nine position players on the field. You usually have a backup catcher and a couple utility players that can play multiple positions on the infield or outfield. On top of like your day-to-day position player, then you have a starting rotation, which is five pitchers. Five pitchers, those are the pitchers who typically start the game. And then you have a bullpen, and the bullpen is, I mean, maybe like six pitchers on average, six or seven. It depends.
So, if you had your dream baseball series, how many books long would it be?
I think six is a good amount because the reality is, like a lot of these guys, like when you look at most baseball teams, like a lot of the guys are already partnered up. Like they're, you have multiple situations, but a lot of them are already partnered up with girlfriends from high school. And then the rest of them, like a lot of really famous, really good players don't get married or have kids or pursue romance until after baseball. Some of them will partner up during, but I think like six is a good amount and a realistic amount for the amount of time that a series typically takes place.
So typically, the baseball romances where he's a retired player are probably a little more in line into what it's really like for baseball players with relationships.
Oh yeah, and I think that's why we get a lot of those. We get there's quite a few of those, and I also think it's easier to manage the baseball element when, like, Melanie Harlow has one in her Cloverleaf Farms series. It's book five, and there's a dual baseball element. Like he's a retired baseball player, sort of. Like he's got the yips, and he's home, and he's coaching. So you get like the high school coach element, and I think that covers a totally different aspect of the sport, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and I will say that, because I don't know the sport, obviously I'm going to have a little bit more leeway when it comes to what I like and what doesn't. And I will say, Melanie Scott, she has a series called The New York Saints. It is an older series. It's available in the library. At least it was in my library. I think it's a wide offering, so you'd have to, it's like buy the books kind of thing. It is four guys, but it actually deals with the first book. She inherits the team from her dad and becomes the owner. And he's in his last year and he's trying to make sure the team gets like the right amount of players. And it really deals with the fear. And so that was something I was going to ask you too. Sometimes in a lot of these baseball romances, we get the intersection of they're having issues within their game, and now they are threatened. If they don't get their stuff together, they're going to go down to the minor leagues. How realistic is that?
Not
not. So players are not moving up and down.
Thing is, like, where a lot of these players are in their career where they're saying they're going to get defected to the minors, that's not a thing. So in baseball, there are contractual limitations. Once you hit free agency, a lot of players sign away a team's ability to send them to the minors. So like once, and free agency happens pretty late in career now. So prior to free agency, like when a player comes up with a team, and this is messed up so often in romance, like Sarah Ney in particular messes this up because she's got a first year player in one of her books who's making millions and millions of dollars. No, you get a signing bonus with a team when you were drafted. Sometimes, usually only if you're a first round pick. Okay, now there are incentives.
So real quick, can you define? So we know that for football, a player has to play at least 2 years of college or be 21 to go into the NFL draft, right?
Yeah.
And hockey, they're drafted as young, older teenagers, young adults. Some go to junior leagues and then, but skip college altogether. Baseball players, how likely are these players being drafted at 18 out of competitive leagues? Are they being drafted out of college? Like, because that's something we often see too, like, oh, I graduated college and now I'm going to be on my baseball team. But I feel like that doesn't feel right.
It's more common with pitchers to go to college and be drafted outside of college because you do not have a 98 mile an hour fastball coming out of high school. So you have to do a lot of development. That's one of the things I like about one of Megan Quinn's books. She talks about like one of the players in her book, he's working up to get to hit 95 mile an hour fastball. And like, I really like the way that's covered because it's very realistic. Like you have to work your butt off literally day in and day out to notch faster speeds. And it's not just a matter of like hitting fast speeds, but in order to be a starter in the major leagues, you have to have at least three different pitches that can get outs. Usually you need four or five pitches if you're a starter, and that's hard to develop. You don't have that out of high school. So pitchers almost always go to college first. They don't necessarily finish college, but they do require like typically additional development. So a lot of like starting pitchers are a little bit older in the league, but what you see now, like there's also an international component to baseball that a lot of other sports don't necessarily have.
We're going back to romance. We're just trying to figure out how realistic is it. I know you have baseball knowledge. You have to get out. And I appreciate that. Well, we just have to tie it into some books.
Yeah. So like the thing is like, if you're an on-field player and you are a phenom, you're probably hitting that status really quickly. Like they're getting drafted out of high school or signed internationally at 16. Like I think Juan Soto signed from the Dominican Republic at 16. He's going to turn 26 on Friday. And he has been in the major leagues for 8 years. There are more players like that now. A lot more players like that now. Like they're not even really going and spending much time in AAA.
So in the world of romance books that are baseball, do you feel that the college romances are a little bit more realistic as far as gameplay and how things work within, you know, the college baseball scene over the professional ones? Because sometimes I do feel like the professional baseball romances could be any sport.
Yeah, they don't go. So basically what I have told you all is that baseball is very complicated. There's so many factors that go into it. And like most casual fans don't care. And that's fine. Like you don't need that in your romance book. But if you're going to include rules in the major league books, people like me will know when you're wrong and will not read your books anymore. And then it'll tell all your friends. But yeah, it's like it's little things too. Like you have to at least get the basics right for major league. Like I'll forgive some of the more complex stuff, but like they would be nice for the basics. But in college sports, they do a really good job in baseball in particular of capturing the pressures, the like individual goal and the pursuit of reaching the majors.
So what are some new adult college baseball romances that you think are done exceptionally well in giving what it's like for baseball players that are that young in college?
Ginger Scott has two, Southpaw and The Best Friend and the Shortstop. I think both of those do a pretty good job. I think The Best Friend and the Shortstop shows a lot of the pressure of like not performing on field and the mental aspect of the game. Like that book really dives into the mental aspect of the game really
right,
well.
His dad is also a former baseball player. So yeah, he has that added pressure.
And then Left Field Love by C.W. Farnsworth. I put a caveat on this one because I don't think this book is for everyone. It starts in high school and follows his baseball journey all the way to the major leagues. So it covers a huge span of time, but it really does cover like the struggle to get there. And then Maren Moore, I think when I read the series, I don't necessarily love the romance, but the baseball is pretty good. For her Orleans University series, it's entirely baseball. It's very similar to like The Deal or the off-campus series, like Elle Kennedy or Veronica Eden. Like a lot of the tropes are really close to Veronica Eden's, her hockey college series, Holt University. But they do the baseball really well in that series. And then Megan Quinn, I like her Brentwood series. I don't
the Brentwood Boys series.
Yeah.
Have you read Jay Sterling? So back in 2020, I read The Ninth Inning by her, which he's in his last year of college. He is a pitcher and he's headed to the pros.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I didn't remember the stories well enough to include those as a rec.
I have it in my thing that it was a 4-star. But again, I am not a baseball authority.
I'll reread them and let you know. I did read the Melanie Scott book. I think you recommended it. And I actually found like on Amazon, you can find most of those for like $1.50.
Oh, the old paperbacks?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think they're category. I think they were written as category and not as, you know, like full novels. Because again, I think those are from 2015, 2016. And actually, Melanie Scott has a very interesting path to her authorship. She actually is a comic book writer.
Wow.
That is her main source of writing. She dabbled a little bit in writing baseball romances and then went back to the comic book world. So, which I thought was interesting. Okay, so next question. Oh, I have to bring this up. And then we'll get back to Lindsay and her getting all her knowledge out, which we respect because Jenny and I've been there.
I'm just here for moral support.
So one of the things that I noticed, and Lindsay, you can comment on this. One of the things that I noticed when I was going through my recs, which I ended up with way more recs than I thought I had. Like, and some of them are a little different, and I'll get to those before we're done tonight. But the lack of diversity. So the majority and like a disproportional amount of the majority of the books that were baseball, even when I went to look at ones that I hadn't read yet, the ones that are on lists and recommended, all white authors. No Asian Pacific Islander, no Latinx authors, no Black authors.
Jocelyn Soto is the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
So I went to Carla Is Reading, which, again, if you aren't following her on socials, I had her on the episode for Latinx Heritage Month. 10 out of 10 recommend. Cannot recommend her enough. Follow her socials. She had a really funny TikTok this week that because Latinx Heritage Month is over. And she's like, you can go back to ignoring us. We all turn into pumpkins. I was like, but you're my favorite pumpkin. She's like, oh, thanks. Anyway, I asked her for some recommendations. So I have these on my Kindle. The Plan by Johanna Benitez. Wild Pitch by Kat Grildo.
I think I read that one.
And then Holiday Home Run by Priscilla Oliveras, and I love Priscilla. And that's only a novella, but it's he's a baseball player, but it's a Christmas novella, which perfect timing, right? We're getting ready for Christmas.
Yeah, and if they're going to fall in love, that's when it would be.
Right. I'm like, it sounds like that's the only time I got.
If you are on a good team, you get the privilege of playing an extra month of baseball, which means your season doesn't end until this year. If they go 7 games, it'll end, I think, November 2nd. That'll be the first day of the offseason. And then you have to factor in like the parades and celebrations and whatnot. So like they really, if you go deep into the season, you don't even get 3 months of off season.
Wow. So Wild Pitch, I think, is a nanny single dad romance. I think. I don't know. I'm going to check them out. I will report back with them, but you know, Swing Batter Swing by Zadea Polanco. This guy is white, but his assistant slash agent is Latina. But Zaida, she is a Latina, so you know. Why not? We need to uplift. It was really frustrating because I went looking and like Liz Tomford was on the BIPOC list of baseball. And she's not. She is a 6-foot white woman.
But like Lindsay said, like there seems to be a lot of international players. So
you would think there'd be more international.
There's really not. Like that's a big complaint I have about the romances in general. But especially for baseball, like most baseball gets an unfair rep for not being very diverse, but it's actually very diverse in my opinion, because it's international. Like we have players from all over the world that come and play. And then one of my favorite things that happens in baseball is the World Baseball Classic, where the teams go head to head. And baseball is actually huge in Mexico.
Like, yeah.
Huge. And it's also a fantastic place for baseball to play, because in Mexico City, the ball, when it's hit at elevation, will fly way further. So like Mexico City's stadium is at 9,000 plus feet. So it's just like a home run slug park. It's probably one of the best places to see baseball. It's on my bucket list to go there. But like it's such a famous place to play. Not like famous, but like baseball has started having games there. This year they had games in South Korea. It's a very, like, there are players all over that are very interested in it. And especially in Latin American countries.
Yeah.
It's huge. Like most of the players in the league, a lot of the players in the league are from the Dominican Republic. Some of them are from Venezuela. Some of them are Cuban. Some of them are from like Panama. Like a lot of them will come through like Miami, but they're actually like international. Like a lot of the famous players are from other countries.
Which it was just interesting to me that the rep was not that balanced in our books. So it was just, I wanted to bring it up, kind of talk about it. Okay, so you brought this up a couple of times. Balancing a baseball career and romance, like a relationship, is incredibly difficult because of the amount of time they're on the road and that they're gone. Do you think that it is, because we kind of talked about a little bit, like that's why we see a lot of retired players. But do you think that authors that are writing, how often percentage-wise does an author get it right with the demands of a career on a baseball player within a relationship? Like how often does an author actually get it? Because I'll be honest, that was one of my complaints of Jiffy Cate's book 3 in the New Orleans series. The hero and the heroine, their relationship takes place more over FaceTime and text messages. Like they're never in the same place, because she's the nanny for the kids and he's on the field.
Yeah. So the way the season works, they'll have home stands and away stretches. So they'll be home from anywhere from like 5 to 10 days, and then they'll be on the road anywhere from 5 to 10 days. It depends on how the schedule is. Like baseball has done a good job of trying to make it longer stretches on the road and at home. to limit some of the travel, but it's so much travel. And then you're also living somewhere entirely different for spring training. And even when you're injured, like even players who are injured are still traveling with the team. They're not like in romance, sometimes they'll have an injured player who is just off somewhere
Yeah.
recuperating. That's
On
not
the
the case.
couch.
Like if they're having a major injury with a surgery component, usually there is like a period of rest before they start their rehab stints, but it is just as demanding travel-wise. That's I think like where a lot of the inaccuracies come, where they try to write a story, frame it around reality, and like that's a big one that is messed up quite often.
Okay.
But like the demands of the schedule are frequently glossed over. I think so. Kaylee Ryan's Out of Reach series, I really, really like that series because it really shows like how they make a relationship work with the demands of the season. Like it talks a lot about that. But a lot of them don't. And I think that's why you see a lot of college romance baseball books because they don't.
Yeah, most of mine are college like age, and that makes sense because you would have a little more leeway because they're going to be at school and yeah, juggling that schedule with
So when you go
push
in,
baseball stuff.
when you go in and read a baseball romance, do you have a percentage of error that you'll allow for before you're like chucking the book across the
It's
room?
three strikes, you're
No.
out.
Certain things, you can get everything right, and then if you get one thing that should be so base and obvious wrong, I'll just be like, it can't take you seriously. Like it just depends. It's like a magnitude scale. Like how big is the thing you're messing up? Like with the Sarah Ney book I mentioned, like she messed up the contract stuff. Like that's kind of forgivable because that's like a deep knowledge thing.
That's a
Like
nuance. I would have no
you
idea. Like,
make money playing the sport, but like no, you make a major league minimum until you hit arbitration in most instances, unless like you hit milestones. So like that I can really understand. And especially because it changes every CBA agreement. Like
collective
it
bargaining
changes. It's
agreement.
negotiable. So it changes
Jenny.
all the time. So unless you're like me, like you wouldn't be locked into that at all. So like that's forgivable. But like if your team is, I'm sorry, but like if you're building your romance world based on real baseball and your East Coast team is going to spring training in Arizona, like
No, they're not.
that
No,
doesn't happen.
they're not. I know.
That doesn't
Okay.
happen.
So here is my deal, authors. If you are thinking, even questioning about writing a baseball romance and you need a beta reader or research assistant, please let me know. I will send you Lindsay's information. Okay, so let's go through some books. Let's give some good book recs here to everybody that has stuck with all of Lindsay's nerdy baseballness, and Jenny and I is just looking beautiful here. We really are the pretty faces tonight.
I already gave a lot of my recs, but yeah, I have more like
Okay.
specific.
Okay, so here we go. Give two or three, Jenny, and then, well, you only have like seven, right?
I only like at this point I've got like five because
Okay, give us one, Jenny, and then we'll let Lindsay give two. And then we'll come back and we'll go around and
okay.
see. What do you got, Jenny?
The Bromance Book Club.
Book one.
Yeah, book one, and Alyssa K. Adams,
Yeah.
he's marriage in crisis. Like, he has definitely like let his job take over, which seems like it is a very realistic possibility.
Well, and they were married young as high school sweethearts, and
Had some kids and.
She kind of lost who she was, and they lost their relationship because his focus has been on the playing and their communication wasn't great. That is an excellent one, I think, especially for older players, which obviously that's where they're making the majority of their money is at the end of their career, if I'm following what Lindsay's telling us.
Absolutely correct.
Okay, Lindsay, give us two books. Two books, and then we'll go back to me and then Jenny.
Jocelyn Soto's Fake Love. I'm somewhat convinced that this is loosely inspired by Juan Soto, and I'm also somewhat convinced that her last name is loosely inspired by him. But then I'm also going to recommend The Dugout because, like, Millie is the... Well, okay. Millie...
Who wrote The Dugout?
Megan Quinn. And Millie in it... Millie is just a baseball diehard. I love her because, like, I understand her.
She so is her. Much.
Like she's talking at one point in, like, how she's watching video. And, like, I was just watching video the other day about, like, catchers and the glove positions and, like, how that can influence how a pitch is called. And I was like, I am nerding out hard. And, like, that is Millie. Like, Millie is, like, that level of baseball nerd. And I love her so much. Yeah, Carson's a dick for a little bit, but.
So I read a debut novel, Baseball, by an author named Taylor James. The book is called Sideline Play, and this is a debut. Now, he is a catcher, and I liked that she started the series with a catcher over a pitcher, because I think 9 out of 10 times, baseball series tend to start with a pitcher. She starts with the catcher. It is, her dad is the skipper, which I'm not exactly sure if that's a manager or a coach, what it means. They call manager. Him the skipper. He himself is a former player, which apparently is very realistic. Lots of skippers are former players. These are things I have learned in doing my research. Anyway, so Sideline Play by Taylor James. He's the catcher. He's coming off of a hip injury from the previous season. He's played through the majority of this season. They are in, like, the final stretch of games right before they're going to the playoffs. And he gets hurt because instead of using a base runner, he runs the bases himself and he slides in and injures his hip because he didn't listen to his coach. Which, whatever. The only complaint I have about this book is, and Lindsay, you can read it, but there's not a lot of baseball in it because he gets injured. It's at the end of the season, and instead of having, he has to have surgery, so he doesn't travel with the team for their playoff game that they end up losing, like their first round of playoffs they end up losing. And they go back to, like, for his rehab. She's a student physical therapist that's the daughter of the skipper. Anyway, there's a lot there. This book was more spice than story, and it was lots of vibes and no stakes. And there's no third act breakup. So if you really want, like, I would say this book was 70% sex, 30% story.
Just a quick note. Like, you're more likely to break a wrist and miss a good portion of the season and need reconstructive surgery, or, like, a knee or an ankle or a wrist injury would be more likely. Like, it's very rare for a hip injury to occur in baseball.
He had already had a hip issue. I think it was his hip. I'm fairly certain it was his hip.
He's a catcher. Yeah. Catchers have a lot of body wear. Like, a lot of catchers don't play catcher their whole career. A lot of them wind up getting moved to first base because it sucks hell.
And this book will make you mad, Lindsay, because her brother is the pitcher. It's her adopted brother. He's the pitcher, and he's, like, over the top obsessive protective over his little sister. And I don't.
Maybe just skip that book, Lindsay.
Right. Okay, let's see here. Do I have another book? Okay, well, this is not, neither one of them are baseball players, but Irresistibly Yours by Lauren Lane. They're competing sports journalists that are obsessed with baseball. And I like that story.
That's a good one. Lauren Lane in general.
She's good. Okay, Jenny, your turn.
I have Turn Me On by Lauren Blakely. Writing as L. Blakely. It's an MM. He is, like, starting his new team, and the other guy is his lawyer.
Agent, yeah. That's the one that has the cringy gym scene.
It does have the
that I had like, to ask David about.
Yeah.
Lindsay, what do you got now?
So this book, I don't think it was necessarily like the best book ever, but I really do love it because it is written, like the girl in the book is very much a baseball diehard, and it's based on the Orioles. Like the team's not the Orioles, but it takes place in Baltimore. It's Falling for the Rookie by Trish Ann Williford. And they meet, he's a rookie, and he hits her in the face or something. Yeah, he gives her a concussion with a foul ball that he hits, and then he feels bad and winds up going to the hospital for their meet cute. But like that, I really like their meet cute. Also, I can't tell you how many times I've been hit by a foul ball.
Okay, so that's a thing, because Samantha Christie, her Stealing Sawyer, in that book, she gets hit in the face with a foul ball. And that's kind of their meet cute.
Yeah. I haven't read that one yet. I read one of her books that I liked a lot recently. I think we were talking about it. But yeah, I really liked that. And then, like, I've talked about the whole series. I've mentioned the series, but I really like Waste of Handsome by Tina Gallagher. It's the second in her Carolina Wave series. I think this one takes place at spring training and is like a meet cute, not really a meet cute, but like he's a PR nightmare and it's like a player and PR person.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, can I just say, like, if you need fresh trope ideas for baseball, like, come talk to me, because like, the possibilities are endless, and like the PR thing is so overdone. Like, I think it's more realistic. Like the PT is realistic. I think it's realistic for them to like the Yankees have had a female report on field reporter for decades. I think that's very realistic because you see these reporters every day. Like there's so many, like there's endless opportunities for romance, but you see like a lot of the same tropes. So anyway, that wasn't a book rec, that was just like a note that like, do better, we can be much more expansive.
Scoring Position by Mimi Kinley. It's a novella, it's super short, super spicy. She is the daughter of the owner or the coach, I can't remember which, but it's Mimi, you know, it's a lot more spice. It's story, but it's absolutely worth it. J.C. Burton has two in her sports series. Thrown by a Curve by J.C. Burton. It is an agent and player. And then Changing the Game by J.C. Burton. Changing the Game is the agent player. Thrown by a Curve, I think, is a secret baby or surprise pregnancy romance. I like J.C. Burton. She does a really great job in sports. Jenny, do you have any more?
I have Perfectly Played by Holly Kern. Okay, I don't remember like anything I read pre-pandemic, but this, I four-starred this book, and the blurb sound good. Like they're both left at the altar and then run into each other. Like,
okay.
Oh yeah. And like he's that. A baseball player.
I love a left at an altar, runaway bride kind of situation. Lindsay, what do you got?
I'm going to say Caught Looking by Tara Wyatt. She is a former, it's a coach and player romance. She is a former coach. No, she is the coach. Sorry. She's the coach and she's a former softball player. I really like the dynamics in it. And I like how both of them are very invested in baseball. I like a lot of books where both of them are extremely invested in baseball. Because like, it's just not realistic for somebody to be
a casual baseball
fan. You can be a casual fan, but like you have to be willing to really fall in love with the sport and learn about it and appreciate it, I think, to make it work. I'm not an expert. I've never been in a relationship.
It sounds like a commitment though.
So, like, but it's like I know what the sport takes and I know like what goes into it and just how hard it is to be in the majors and to stay there for most players in the league. And I don't know, it's just there's so much that goes into it. I think like the like the romances where like there's not a willingness to learn or love the sport from one are just really hard to buy.
Okay, what else do I have? R.S. Gray has some baseball romances, but I think they're more rom-commy than they are baseball sports heavy. The one I read was a sibling's best friend, and he plays baseball, but I don't feel like there was a lot of baseball rep in it. Like, she went to a couple of his games, but I don't know that we, you know, get that huge dynamic. Lindsay, have you read Jenny Barra?
Nope.
She has a couple of baseball romances. I have not read her, but she's written quite a few. She was part of that MomCom series that was like four authors that came out earlier this year. So I'm curious. She
is Jenny with an I as well.
She is. She is J-E-N-N-I-B-A-R-A.
There were a lot of baseball books that came out this summer, and I have to say, I read a lot of them. And of the ones that I read, the only one that I recommended was The Best Run and the Shortstop. So there are a lot of ones coming out that I don't like. That's so okay. My recs are very limited because I am pretty opinionated about it. Like,
no, you don't say. I read The Art of Catching Feelings by Alicia Thompson. It had a lot of baseball in it. And the cover is adorable, but it was like the spice, the tension, the chemistry was pretty low. I think it was a Berkeley romance, which I expect from Berkeley. It didn't have as much chemistry as I like.
I think, so sports romances are wildly popular. It's a huge money maker.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of baseball romances tend to write around the sport. And like, I think like a lot of them I like as a romance. I like a lot of them as a romance, but they would not be books I'd recommend under the umbrella of baseball romance. Like, I'd recommend them as a romance, but not necessarily like a baseball romance.
Have either of you read The Cooper Valley Fireballs by Pippa Grant?
Yes, I have actually.
I read a couple.
It's been a while. When did that come out? That's been like,
it was a while ago.
I think that's a 2017, 4 years ago. Because
like, I don't remember. Like, I remember liking the series, but I don't remember enough. Like, at the time, I was reading a lot really fast, and I don't remember. Like, when I read like that, I don't necessarily remember. So like, there were a lot of books I've read in the past too, where I was just like, I know I enjoyed this, but I can't tell you a single dang thing about it.
Yeah. Aaron's in the comments recommending Lulu Moore. I know lots of people that listen to the podcast are fans of Lulu Moore and her baseball books, and you liked it as a book, but you felt like she got some of the baseball.
There are some things, like, especially in one of the books, like the pitcher is leaving the team while they're on the road. That, like, there's not any scenario. There's very few scenarios where that would happen. Like, this year, Freddie Freeman with the Dodgers did leave the team because his child was hospitalized with a massive issue. But even then, like, he's played injured. Like, a lot of these players are on the, like, they're married to the field. Like many players are playing in the postseason right now with injuries because that's how much they love baseball and like how much they want to play. Like, they don't have to play injured, but they choose to.
So there's probably two levels of books here. There are ones that are just great romances that work fine. But if we're really going to get into the nitty gritty of what makes the sport such a great sport and you're a fan of, it takes the next level for the romance book to hit into that field for you.
Yeah, and like, there's some things, I think one of the things I will say about Lulu Moore's books is that like, they remind me, like, that her baseball series reminds me very much of like what the Mets are doing right now. So like, it's a New York baseball series. The owner is incredibly wealthy in Lulu Moore's book series, and it very closely parallels to what's going on with the Mets. So I do like it in that vein. I do think there are certain things that are happening in modern baseball that it is drawing from. And I do like that. But as far as it being like a really great baseball romance, it would not, It is a really great romance, in my opinion, but I think, like,
just not a great baseball
as a baseball romance. But there are little things, like she's the one with the they're going to spring training in Arizona. Like, yeah. They're not going to spring training in Arizona. Pitchers are not ever going to, like, there's no circumstance where a pitcher is going to leave to make a grand gesture while their team's on the road, especially not when they're potentially contending for the postseason. That's never going to happen.
Stacy says she loved Jill Chavez's double play duology and Kate Angel's Richmond Rogue series. She thinks those are good baseballs. So, okay. Anybody have any other books they absolutely need to mention before we go on to the next thing?
We can stop there.
Okay. Do you feel like you got enough of your baseball love out?
No.
Okay. Sorry, I made you talk about books instead of just baseball. Next up, Lindsay's own baseball love podcast. Oh my goodness. Okay, so those are our list of books. I will put them on our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com so that you can check those out if you are feeling feisty. As we go into the World Series that starts, I think, the 23rd, right?
It starts the 25th.
Game one is Friday. Okay. Hey, guess what time it is?
Book
of the week. It's book of the week time. Jenny, do you have a book of the week?
Okay, so when I was looking through books, I didn't reread the whole book, but like skimmed through Jack Rowe by Sarah Ney again. He's a baseball player. There's no baseball in this book, like none. But that was like one of the first books, like my re-entry to romance didn't have a third act breakup.
Okay.
And I was like reading it and I'm like at 84% and like, oh,
yeah.
So, yeah.
I get that. Lindsay, what's your book of the week?
Okay. Well, you guys got a little preview of my chaos yesterday, but I'm going to do two, and it's technically four.
I'm going to do two, but technically it's four.
Yeah, so April Asher, her witch series, I forget what the series is called, but it's like Not the Witch You Wed, Not Your Ex's Hexes, and then Not Your Crush's Cauldron. That series is just so cute and it's so perfect for an October read. And I think it's in Hoopla, so I think like most people have it available to them at no additional cost beyond like the library, I guess. But it's so cute and it's such a good season. Like, they're really well written romances. I really like her world building. They are traditionally published, so they're not free in Kindle Unlimited. And then I'm going to also recommend Bourbon Harmony by Walker Rose. I don't think she's done a musician before. It's Walker Rose, Marie Johnston. I don't think she's done a musician before, but I really liked how she handled this. This was a second chance romance. She's now a famous country star, and she's reconnecting with her high school sweetheart who stood her up and dumped her gradually in a weird situation where they were supposed to go away together, and he just didn't go with her.
So okay.
It was good. It was really good.
So I have two books also, because, you know.
I didn't get the memo.
Apparently, this is the night we're breaking all the rules. So we talked a little bit about yesterday because the hardback is gorgeous, and I passed it up at Walmart, and now I need to go buy it. Bull Moon Rising by Ruby Dixon. This is her first fully traditional published book. It is not in the world of Ice Planet Barbarians. It is Minotaurs. There is nodding. It is sexy. It is a fast read. 10 out of 10 recommend. And then I actually read this one a little bit ago, but it is releasing on Friday of this week. and I can't not take the opportunity to give a shout out to this book. That One Heartbreak by Carrie Elks comes out 10/25. This is the second gen in the Hearts and Creeks series. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to start voting you people off this island if we are not going to read her books. Okay?
Wait, I will read her books.
Okay.
I read her books too. Like,
well, there are other people in this on this island that are not getting this memo.
No. The problem is you get the ARC and you read them 300 years before everybody else even gets it available to them, Becky. Like,
well, you know, so I am her beta reader, so I should caveat this too. I was paid to read this book and to give her feedback, but I have now read the ARC because she changed some things, and I really still... I loved it. This is a single mom. Her husband's best friend and coworker. He was a fire chief at a volunteer fire department in Hearts and Creek, and he was his associate chief or just one of the firefighters. But he also was the educator for the teen program. You know, check out, do you want to volunteer for the fire department kind of thing? But the husband, the reason she's a widow is he dropped dead from an aneurysm, not from like anything fire related. But she is hesitant to commit to anything in life. She has three kids and she's hesitant to commit to anything in life because of how sudden the loss of her husband was. And our hero's name is Marley, and he's a Hartson, and he's swoony, and he starts running at night for his exercise to run past her house to check on it because he worries about her. And so, like, big grand gesture constantly. But it's really good. I highly recommend That One Heartbreak by Carrie Elks. So Stacy's in the comments screaming, read Winterville. Read Winterville.
At least Winterville is out in Kindle Unlimited right now, or it's available. Yeah. I don't think that book. When does that book come out by Carrie Elks? I don't think
10/25. 10/25 Friday.
She's gonna be busy postseason.
Friday.
I'm sorry. Why don't you just take the day off work? You could read the book in the morning and then watch baseball in the evening.
I will not be able to do that.
It's okay.
Possibly will be able to do that. We'll consider that option.
How about on the off days that they're not playing, you read this book?
All winter.
All winter.
My reading really ticks up a lot in winter.
I don't know. I love Carrie Elks, and I just think, one, she's a really nice human. Like, very nice. But also, I just love her books.
She writes small town so well. And the way she writes American small town, like, I had no idea. I was so surprised when we learned that she was not American, because right. The way she writes, and like the Hearts and Creek takes place up in Virginia, which is like a place that I grew up in Virginia. I'm very familiar with the area. And like, it reads, like, the way she writes is so vivid that, like, it does really put you in the location accurately. And I think that would be hard because she's not.
Well, she did live there for a couple years.
Oh, okay.
That so I think her husband was, like, in the diplomatic pool and might have been over because they lived in Northern Virginia, the D.C. area.
Probably Loudoun County, which is where that book reminded me a lot of.
Probably. Okay. So anyway, read those books. Patreon update. This month's Patreon swag packs are sponsored by Renee Rose and Samantha Gale. They just are going out this week. They're a little behind, but I promise they're worth it. Make sure you join us back here Wednesday for our discussion of Wed to an Alien Warlord by January Bell. Spoiler alert, it was our Buzzing Book Club pick for October, and I liked it. Just so we know. We are back next Sunday with Book Recs full of witches and fae, just in time for Halloween. And For a list of books we talked about this weekend, please visit our On the Shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. Well, romance readers, that's the ball game. We've hit a grand slam of baseball romances today, and I hope your TBR list is packed at the stadium on as packed as the stadium on opening day. Whether you're here for the slow burn, like pitchers wind up, for the perfect throw, or you're more into the fast-paced, heart-pounding ninth-inning drama, there's a baseball romance out there for you. Remember, just like in baseball, love might throw you some curveballs, but when you finally connect, it's a home run every time. So grab those books, settle in with a hot dog, or let's be real, a glass of wine, and let's let the swoons begin. Don't forget to follow us on social media for more updates and join our community of romance enthusiasts. If you love this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Share it with your friends. Your support makes it possible for us to send or to provide you with more romance book content. Until next time, keep swinging for the fences, and may all your book boyfriends be as dreamy as a walk-off homer. Stay spicy, romance fans. Until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.